Thanks very much, and thanks to everyone who's contributed to this important debate today. I'll make 5 points. First, looking at how we can better regulate companies in the area of hate speech and online content, I wanted to make 2 points. One is that there is a growing trend towards mandatory human rights due diligence, something that's being looked at in a number of states and including in the EU context. This is something that can really make a difference in terms of how companies take seriously their responsibilities to protect against hate speech online. In the EU, with the Digital Services Act and the development of the large platform regulation, we have the potential for some of the transparency measures that I've been talking about to be taken up. But the problem is it doesn't go far enough. It only applies to very large online platforms. For example, it doesn't include Telegram and Reddit, two of the organizations looked at within the Frost study I noted earlier. Secondly, I want to pick up my colleague's point about the importance of bringing in the voices and making more space for those who are being most directly affected by these abuses, both in terms of responding to the actual incidents and concerns, so better complaint mechanisms and better remedy processes, but also bringing them into this conversation in an effective way and then acting on what they bring to the conversation as well. So that means, of course, having women at the table, but having minorities, people suffering from racial discrimination, other marginalized groups, much more active and listened to in this space. Third, I think I want to go back to the point, excuse me, about the difficulties around moderation and how we need to look at how to do it effectively. And the point, again, that transparency here is going to be crucial. It is not enough to just say do it. There's no switch that can be flipped that will eliminate hate speech online. And we wouldn't want there to be. If we tried to institute one, that same switch would be used to silence all sorts of voices that we want to be heard online. But what we need to do is devote more resources by companies, by states to this problem. And that includes the critical issue of making sure that those resources are available in the right languages at the right time. It's not a surprise when conflict breaks out in certain places. And there ought to be enough resources there to address that problem in the languages it requires and to use the tools that are available to enforce the policies that exist. And that has not happened effectively on the language, on the social media platforms in the ongoing conflict. Finally, and with regards to what needs to happen in terms of moderation, as noted, there are political officials and leaders whose voices are even more crucial that we monitor and make sure that they are not being used to amplify bad content. And that can be done more easily as well and should be taken up more seriously. The fourth point is about the state role, though. I've said that we want states to regulate, but we also have to keep in mind that experience shows there is no way to do this without risking overbroad regulation that will silence speech. We have to act against that equally and make sure that any regulation that comes in is one that truly protects freedom of expression at the same time. Again, there's no switch. Governments can't just use a blunt tool and expect to get this right. Transparency and accountability and resources are much more important than simply a general rule saying, you know, take this offline. And finally, we've heard during this debate quite a bit disturbing examples of hate speech on both sides of a conflict. But I'd note that we never heard about both sides of the conflict in a single statement. That has to change. We need to be able to talk about these issues across groups, across ideas. And that is one way in which the United Nations can and should play a role. It is also a place where the human rights framework, which is being celebrated today, both in terms of the important role the Genocide Convention has played, and as we've heard numerous times, the document that came into force the day later, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Those rights apply to all people at all times. And we have to be able to talk across those issues and use the human rights framework, use the Rabat Declaration and Plan of Action to be able to really attack these issues in a way that respects rights and affords people the dignity they deserve. Thank you.